From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of May, 2011. Happy birthday to my father, Martin Gleason, on his 85th in Elkhart, Illinois. Dad, tell the boys to come out of the field, stop planting the beans, and take you to the golf course. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. And the cash grain markets with Matt Bennett of TGM in Windsor, Illinois. In agricultural news, the chair of the Senate Ag Committee has set her mind to monitoring the effectiveness of the Farm Bill as it relates to the current conditions in rural America. The IEA is urging oil producers to increase daily output, and ADM has plans on the books to build a port terminal in the South American nation of Uruguay. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. At the end of the half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast, and it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. July contract and the soft red winter wheat down a nickel at $8.12. September at $8.55 and a quarter down 3 1/4. July corn futures finished a penny and a half lower at $7.48 1/4. September at $7.11 1/2 down 6. And December at $6.62 down 10 3/4 for the new crop corn. March contract there at $6.72 down 10 1/4. And the May at $6.79 for next year down 10 1/4 as well. July soybeans unchanged, $13.79 1/2. The August at $13.71 3/4 down 1. September $13.60 1/4, 2 3/4 lower. And November beans at $13.49 1/2 down 3 3/4. January at $13.59 a bushel, down 3 1/2 cents. July bean meal at $3.61.40, up 40 cents. July soybean oil at $57.46, 16 cents higher. Mercantile Exchange live cattle futures finished the August contract at $107.92 1/2 per 100 pounds, down $1.25. August feeders at $126.65, down $1.35. And the June lean hogs today at $91.32 1/2, finished 32 1/2 cents lower. The July, though, up 7 1/2 cents per 100 pounds at $91.62 1/2. And you're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is a production of Illinois Public Media. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can always listen to us online if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, nearby contract, June futures, $98.34, down $1.76 a barrel. Ethanol at $2.65, just 0.2 cents higher. Natural gas at $4.09 8/10, a dime lower. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.89 2/10, down 1 3/10 on the afternoon. And the gold futures at $1,492.20, finished $3.40 lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is higher at this hour, up about 21.5 points at 12,582. And the dollar at 75.13 is down 0.33. The CRB index at 339.30, down 4.9 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. As just comes to us from the National Weather Service for this afternoon, partly sunny skies. It's beautiful outside here in Urbana-Champaign, a high near 72 degrees, light west-southwest winds today. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 57, light and variable winds. And Friday, mostly cloudy, a high near 78 degrees, east-southeast winds at 3 to 8 miles an hour. By the time we get to Friday night, a chance of showers return, 30% thunderstorms. That'll come after 1 a.m., though. Mostly cloudy, a low around 63. Saturday should show us showers, a few thunderstorms. They'll be likely in the area. Cloudy, a high of 76. Southwest winds at 8 to 14. Chance of precip on Saturday set at 70%. Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, a low of 65. And then sunny skies again by the time we get to Sunday. A high of 83 degrees. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 65. Partly sunny on Monday. A high of 82 Monday night. Those showers and thunderstorms return, possibly. Mostly cloudy, low of 64. Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms again. A cloudy high of near 78 degrees. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Can you tell me how it is that you take in most of what's been happening in the marketplace and what it really means to you as you look out across what happened yesterday and today? Well, we'll get to Dan in just a second. Let me see if we can bring him back up in a different way. We've just been having a terrible problem with what we've had in our phone lines. Hi, Dan. How are you? Yep. One more time. There he is.
Are you there?
I am, finally.
Okay.
It took a while.
there's kind of an echo here, but I think basically what the market did when it came in here Monday morning is basically take a look at the planting progress and areas that haven't made much progress and decided that it had to make some adjustment to the delays in the weather that we've been having, and trying to size up acreage losses, yield potential losses, and basically, you know, took off. Today, I think, was more of a day of consolidation. The corn market was somewhat impacted, I think, by the decline in energy prices due to some weaker economic numbers, both domestically and worldwide. So, I think all in all, the market is still going to have to continue to worry about production prospects, and I think that will provide some underlying support as we go forward, Todd.
When you took a look at those releases, for instance, that came out yesterday from Lynn Group, which lowered down acreage to 89.5 and then talked about Prevent Plant in the Eastern Corn Belt, a few other places, just put that in your mind and think of what the possibilities are and whether you think that acreage could fall that far back or not.
Well, I don't think they put out anything new. I think, the trade has been talking about declining planted acre numbers for a week or so. Everybody has a little different twist on it. How much we are actually losing corn, and usually when you get into extreme wet years like this, where you have a lot of river bottoms that are totally flooded, you actually probably have a net loss of acres at the end of the day. How that mix turns out, I think, probably depends upon how the weather plays out over the next 7 to 8 days. It's not too late to plant corn. I know guys are probably biting their fingernails, but, if we would miss the rains, if they would come in a little lighter than expected or whatnot, we're going to plant some more corn. So I think the Lynn Group, everybody has an opinion. Probably more than anything what that report did yesterday was maybe kind of put something on paper, but it was nothing new that the trade wasn't already talking about. Mm-hmm. And that's basically, I can't necessarily disagree with the directions. We'll just have to kind of wait and see on that.
Where do you think we stand at this point on your charts and what a technician might be reading?
Well, I think we're on the verge of another leg up in prices, but I'm not too sure we can do it right away. I think the market wants to see what happens this weekend on rain and whether or not this big system that some weather people are talking about the end of next week is verified when we come in to trade Monday morning. But basically, the way I view the cyclical patterns is that this is a market that has the potential of rallying right on into that June 30th report, or until it feels a little more comfortable with overall crop prospects, one way or the other on it. For some time, I thought this market would do totally opposite of last year because last year was totally counter-seasonal. And last year we basically broke into the June report and turned the market up, and we really haven't looked back since. I don't necessarily want to get into picking the top, but anybody that has tried to pick the top is still sending money to Chicago. I'm just kind of letting the market kind of take one day at a time. If I want to put my old farmer advisory hat on, I think farmers need to kind of be watching this market pretty careful here over the next 3 to 4 weeks for pricing opportunities, which is a normal time frame to put in a seasonal high. If we don't do it here in June, I think we'll come back into August, and that'll depend upon what the June 30th numbers say as far as planted acres go, and then we'll worry about July and August weather. But it just doesn't look like we're going to do any kind of buildup of stocks this year, and we're kind of in a multi-year situation of having generally tight stocks, I think.
So I went back and I'm looking at the chart, and you're right, it was June. I knew you were, but I'm looking at the bottom, which was the week of 6/28. So that was June 28th, started on a Monday, of course, I would assume. And the low price that week, what do you think it was?
I think Dease corn was like 3.25, if I'm not mistaken.
It might have been for the new for the this would
old
have been
crop.
That would have been the old crop. This
old
would be
crop
this
was...
would be the current one. So so that would this would be December 2011. Crop was $3.825.
I knew the front end was about 3.25
yes.
because the and things have changed a lot since then. And my guess is that things are going to change a lot in the next 90 days, too, here. You got about everybody bullish, except for a few guys that keep wanting to pick the top all the time. About as bad as you had everybody bearish a year ago, so you got to be careful on that. And one thing that I wanted to point out, I pointed out when I talked to Dave this morning, is that, rumors of some of these ethanol plants and are paying very lofty bids, basis bids above the July futures. That is something you got to be careful of if we're not going to maybe go ahead and ration the market with the cash prices more so than maybe futures prices. So we're going to get into a lot of different twists and turns in this market. And it's going to be hard to stay in the saddle, I think.
How about for the soybeans? What do you see there?
Well, soybeans, I know the trade was getting heavily short, thinking that these planting delays were going to increase acres. My guess is that a lot of these acres, if they're possibly can be planted by mid-July, they will go into beans. I'm sure of that, but you got to also take into account mid-July beans, what kind of potential they have, and that will depend upon what the growing season is and whatnot. But, again, I don't see any big buildup of supplies in soybeans either. I guess when I look at it from a cyclical point of view, I think soybeans could do kind of what I think that corn's in position to do from a cyclical point of view is to kind of stay firm here for a few weeks until we, get this crop planted.
You talked about another leg up potentially in the corn market. Do you have? And I know you do, but what kind of points might there be?
Well, I'm not too sure I want to come out with any big numbers.
Yeah, I didn't think you would, and I'm not sure that I want you to either.
And I know everybody wants me to put a number on it. But, I mean, it depends upon the weather. I do know that demand right now is a domestic market. I mean, exports did come in pretty good. That was a supportive influence to start with. But, there's a lot of logistics problems. You got high waters and loading exports out of the Gulf. The numbers are going to be real low. I think summer export demand has to be questioned. And then we'll see everybody's focus basically on the ethanol industry and how long these profitable margins exist and the blending economics. And so far, so good. They're able to pay, you know, 50, 60 cents above July futures. So we'll see how long that lasts.
Once we get out into that September time frame, do you see a problem at all for the ethanol plant once the new crop starts to come in at all?
Well, I mean, it's an August-September worry is where we're at because we're getting off to such a late start. And then the weather forecasts look like we're going to stay cool, so it doesn't look like we're going to get any heating units anytime soon. And June is just around the corner. There may be, you know, it would not surprise me that at some point in time, some of these outfits will just have to kind of shut down, turn the key down and do maintenance and whatnot until the new crop inventory begins to come in to town. It'll depend upon where they're at. I mean, the east is going to be short of corn. I mean, but you can rail it from west to east. There's shots that you can get that done, but or truck it, what you ever have to do. But that is probably where the big action is going to be, especially when you look at Ohio plantings. Indiana plantings ain't much better. There ain't going to be much early corn in that area.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Very well.
That is Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Hey, the Closing Market Report comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's the Land Grant in Illinois. We're proud to bring it to you. If you get the opportunity, do visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our programming from the pre-opening market report to the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture. Our guest this week will be Tim Hannigan. He's with PGF Best. That's Commodity Week. We'll post it about 4:30 on Friday afternoon. Now, here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Debbie Stabenow says her committee will be monitoring the effectiveness of the current farm safety net and helping farmers in disaster areas as senators start hearings on the next farm bill. Stabenow noted that the 2008 farm bill has a number of tools to help farmers with production losses, including crop insurance, the disaster programs, and the average crop revenue election program. Everything, however, revolves around what Stabenow and other farm policy leaders acknowledge will be severe pressures financially because of the budget and deficit reductions. Stabenow says, quote, "There's multiple pressures, and we have to reevaluate and look at everything." Stabenow will chair the Senate Agriculture Committee's first hearing on the 2012 Farm Bill in her home state of Michigan on May 31st. The International Energy Agency today urged oil producers to take action to protect the economy and welcomed commitments to raise output. It was an unusual move for the Paris-based energy advising arm of the OECD, which has a policy not to comment on oil producers' policies. The Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries is meeting in Vienna on June the 8th. State Statistics Services says that Russian grain stocks stood at 23.5 million tons by May 1st, down 18.8% year-on-year, according to preliminary data. Grain stocks at agricultural enterprises were 9.3 million tons by May 1st, a decline of 29.1% year-on-year. Russia was hit by a severe drought last summer, which cut its grain output by a third to 61 million tons. Archer Daniels Midland Company today announced the construction of a port terminal in Uruguay to meet corn, soy, wheat, and soybean meal demands. Located in the specialized trading zone, the terminal will be the only facility at Nueva Palmira with the ability to load large post-Panamax and Cape-sized vessels. ADM's port terminal will have a storage capacity of 180,000 metric tons. It is expected to handle 2.8 million metric tons of goods in its first year of operation. The terminal will employ about 100 people. Construction will begin immediately and should be completed in 22 months. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
On this Thursday afternoon, you are listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us is Matt Bennett of TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the cash grain market. You probably heard Dan say earlier that it might lead the futures higher at some point. Do you see that happening?
Well, it's tough to say. I mean, here a week ago, things were completely different, I guess, than what they are here this week. And I think, you know, whenever we see the cash kind of come back a little bit, everyone was talking about how weak it might be, and then you start hearing about processors are looking for corn. You know, it makes you scratch your head a little bit. But I think that the cash is going to stay supported in here, and I'm not sure that it's going to pull up the, you know, the fall or the deferreds. You know, I think that they have their own problems as well, I mean, based upon acreage and weather concerns.
All right, so deal with your area there in Windsor and the region in Effingham, southern Illinois, Decatur South that your company deals with. What do you see in that cash market?
As far as the corn market or both?
Both.
Well, I just, you know, I think that there are certain processors that are really looking, and I think that the basis levels have really popped in areas. Now, not everyone has went out actively seeking corn or beans, but we have had both on corn and beans, you know, processors bumping bids, you know, a significant amount, as long as a person could guarantee them a fair amount of bushels. Especially, there's a lot of interest, you know, in this July and August time frame, because I think there's some concerns about how much stuff's actually going to be out there.
Well, isn't that something that they probably should have known some time ago, though?
I would assume so, but, you know, I think that, you know, some of these ethanol guys here, this week we saw that the numbers from last week actually popped back up again. So maybe some guys that weren't producing stepped back into the market with the, you know, with the recent slide in the corn prices.
And what are your bids for the day?
Our cash bid on corn will be $7.42 for fall. Corn be $6.27 and cash beans $13.68 and fall $13.11.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. You can hear him again, and if you'd like, on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk to meteorologist Peter Levitt about the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Devil's Food Cake Day, also known as Red Velvet Cake, Red Devil's Cake, and $100 Cake. The dark, rich chocolate dessert dates back to at least the early 20th century. In 1902, the recipe first appeared in an American cookbook, and it found its way across magazines and cookbooks by 1913. The original recipe was a combination of mild chocolate flavoring, flour, sugar, eggs, shortening, and red dye number 40. By the way, when red dye was linked to cancer in the 1970s, the red color gave way to the chocolate variety popular today. On this day in agricultural history in 1834, Catherine Furbish was born. An American botanist, she spent almost 40 years traveling and painting watercolors of the flora of the state of Maine. In 1910, the Earth passed through the tail of Halley's Comet and nothing happened. There had been dire predictions that everyone would die, and many hucksters sold comet pills to counter the effects of the comet gas. The pills sold like crazy. On May 20th, after Earth had passed through the tail, everyone who had taken the pills was still alive, but then so was everyone else. When Halley's Comet returned in 1986, a Michigan museum offered comet pills to commemorate the 1910 scare. The new pills were actually a healthy snack of yogurt-covered sunflower seeds. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Our time now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. On the phone line with us is Pete Levitt. And Pete, thanks so much for being with us today. Can you tell me about first the third Thursday of the month and what the National Weather Service had to say?
Okay, the latest National Weather Service extended forecast for the month of June. We see below normal temperatures forecast from the Pacific Northwest right across the northern plains to the upper Midwest and then southeastward from there across the western and central Corn Belt states. Below normal is an unusual departure for them to forecast in recent years, and so it says that cool weather is likely to continue. Above normal temperatures across the far south from Arizona through New Mexico, Texas, and along the Gulf Coast. And the forecast for summer, June, July, and August, is for cool, below-normal temperatures to continue from Minnesota to Kentucky and Tennessee, the heart of it right in the Midwest, above-normal temperatures in the far southwest and along the Gulf Coast, and precipitation, well, they're calling it equal chances, which means about normal.
Now, we've been wet recently. We've got a couple of days, it appears, here that are pretty dry, but you tell me it's going to be busy.
Oh, yes, it is. We're going to have a couple of days respite here. We've got today, we've got, except for some showers coming into southern Illinois, we've got tomorrow looks pretty good. Temperatures getting up into the low 80s. And then we get showers as a frontal system approaches, a warm front approaches on Sunday, bringing moderate to heavy showers up across most of the state and into the eastern Corn Belt states after unloading some showers on Friday and Saturday to the west. And then these showers go by briefly on Sunday. We might even see the temperatures getting up to 90 on Sunday as we get into the warm sector. And then comes the front, and it gets stalled south of us, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday all look to be showery and wet, and temperatures starting out above normal but then cooling off to below normal. Another very wet week. Wet weather is also forecast to continue in the northern plains, where they've really had a problem for Montana, and especially through the Dakotas and into Minnesota. So planting up there is going to be at a stall. Eastern Corn Belt's going to get some work done for south until the rains come, so the next few days is their time to go. And finally, in the southern plains, in the hard winter wheat belt, we don't see any showers for the drought-stricken portions of southwest Kansas, western central Oklahoma, and all of western Texas. Texas is probably going to lose abandonment of their wheat acreage, something north of 70%. So that crop has gone down there, and it looks like we're going to see a very poor crop out of the hard winter wheat belt.
Pete, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon. You can hear his forecast again on our website at willag.org. You be safe out there. I'm Todd Gleason on this Thursday day.